Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello and welcome to Odds Lord Fitzdares, the show that uses the odds to bring you the stories behind the sport. I'm joined by an absolute stalwart of the Odds Lord stable in Henry Beasley. Welcome to the show, Henry.
Thanks, Lola. Thanks for having me back on.
It's great to have you back. And from all the way across the office, trading guru Orlando the Matrix, Merrick. Why do they call you the Matrix, Orlando?
A Rick is a mistake on my side of the office. And apparently I used to make a lot of Ricks. Matrix, Matrix. It's all turned into a big old nickname.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
And last but certainly not least, we are very excited to be in the presence of Derby winning progeny. No, she's not a horse. All the way from Whitsbury Manor Stables, Jess Tregoning, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Lola. I'm delighted to be here.
On today's show, we are going to talk fighting fifth. We're going to ask the big question, will Constitution Hill ever see the track again? Then we will look ahead to what looks like it could be a spine-tingling renewal of the Tingle Creek before casting a mystic eye on through the festive racing calendar. We'll also hear from Fitzdale's ambassador Ben Pauling on how his team is shaping up as they gear up to take on Sandown. Right, guys, I'm sure you were all glued to the racing this weekend, as we all were. And I think we've got to start with the headline news. And that is that poor old Constitution Hill has fallen again. He was around about a 5 or 6 to 1 shot for the 2026 champion hurdle before racing, and that's now drifted all the way out to 12 to 1. So before we get going in earnest, I'm going to ask for a one-word response from all of you. I'm going to start with Orlando. Is he going to race again?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Ooh. I mean, I'm going to sit on the fence with this one and just say, say maybe. Jess, I'm going to come to you first here because you've obviously got the background in training. I'd really like to put your Nicky Henderson hat on, if you will. If you were Nicky, what would you be doing with Constitution Hill right now?
I think the next 10 days will really paint the picture of what they should be doing. You know, for us as the public, the biggest relief is when we hear that he's come out stiff, but he's well, and that Nico's okay. I think that's the, you know, the best news we could have had from the result that has happened. Obviously, it's hard for anyone to watch, especially when someone like Nicky, you know, his training would have been meticulous, the run-up, they'd have ticked every box they possibly could have. And for that to happen again, obviously, is a huge blow. I think why, when people say, why try him on the flat? The question answers itself. Why wouldn't you? He's got an incredible engine. You know, you can't take away that he's one of the best hurdlers of our generation. And obviously the age is a doubt, but if he's fit and well, why not?
That's what I want to hear, because Henry, I bounced into the office on Monday morning, a lot of optimism, a lot of enthusiasm, and you very quickly burst my bubble when I said, could he go to the Ascot Gold Cup? So why do you think that wouldn't work? What's the argument for why it wouldn't work?
I can't see that happening, to be fair. There's a chance he might win a maiden on the flat, but you could argue, what's the point, given that, as you said, Jesse has been one of the great hurdlers we've seen definitely of this generation. I can't see him running an Ascot Gold Cup for a few reasons. Firstly, ground. He's very protective over his horses running on unseasonably quick ground. But the other point is just the trip. Like, you see all these big National Hunt horses that win these staying handicaps on the flat, Royal Ascot or Cesarewitch, something like that. They're all 3 milers coming back to run over 2 miles, or Cesarewitch is two, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, 2 1/4.
They just go so much quicker on the flat. And if you have a look, I mean, Kypros is recent Ascot Gold Cup winner, multiple Ascot Gold Cup winner. I don't think Constitution Hill would get within a furlong of him, you know. So I can't see it happening personally, but maybe he will have a spin round and win a maiden at Kempton or something on the flat, but he's definitely not going to be running over jumps again, is he?
Jess, I'm just going to come back to you, because you obviously deal with the horses day in, day out, and you've dealt with some brilliant horses in your time. When you are working with an animal like Constitution Hill that is a superstar, won everything there is to win in his division, can you take me through the psychology of stuff like this a bit? Like what is going on in Constitution Hill's head?
Yeah, no, of course. I think with a horse, any horse that has the success of Constitution Hill, it's very clear that this horse has an extreme amount of intelligence. There's no doubt about it. They're bright as a button, a good horse, and they try their heart out. So when you dishearten a horse which exerts itself to such big races over and over again, and you know, he's been winning and he's always had confidence. And in those grade ones where he was winning so comfortably, sort of he was only going around in gear two, he's only in second gear. When you're pushing him to the point where now he's not even, you know, jumping round, he's being put under the pressure which he's never had before.
Yeah,
and I think he's completely lost his confidence in his jumping.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the thing is, these aren't just like, it's not slithering on landing, is it? These are heavy falls as well.
So you're not buying into the padded hurdle issue?
No, I'm not. Yeah, it doesn't. It would be very coincidental, wouldn't it? But I think that is an interesting point, isn't it? It's not like he's sort of like slithering on the landing side.
No.
He is literally landing on top of the hurdles.
What do you do with a horse like that when, I mean, I know it's rarer on the flat that they fall. I mean, it doesn't really happen. But when something goes wrong and they have a setback, what do you do at home to help them?
Well, I think this is why I would just love as a spectator to see him run on the flat. Mm. You know, even if he got his head in front, like you said, over Kempton and a maiden, it would just be so lovely to see him prick his ears and cross the line in front again.
And just try and finish a race as well, to
definitely.
Be fair. Yeah.
And whether that be that Nicky has said quite clearly that he's never going to promise that he's not going to jump hurdle again. And by the sounds of it, it sounds like he will, which is fine. That's up to them. They'll do what's best for Constitution Hill. But in the same breath, I think it would be a brilliant idea just to see him get his confidence back. And someone like Willie Mullins does it all the time with his horses and he gets incredible results. So
I like
why not?
That. I like that bullishness. From
what about sending him chasing?
Well, that's
20-1 for the Arkle.
What do you reckon, Orlando?
I don't know if the confidence to jump a hurdle, lack of confidence, is the same for a fence. You'd assume you'd have a bit more respect for it.
Well, exactly. That's what, I mean, I hate that phrase, respect his obstacles.
Well, it's
because,
just a bigger obstacle. He might not.
Yeah, no, I know. But we heard it a lot after the initial falls last season. He needs to respect his obstacles more.
Yeah.
I mean, Jess, you were saying that he goes round in second gear winning some of these grade ones. So I don't know if there's something in that, but I think it feels a bit churlish to say to a horse, respect your obstacles. But I take your point. You are actually going slower, right, when you approach a fence than when you approach a hurdle. So maybe.
From what I gather, from Nicky has tried him over a chase fence, and by the sounds of it, he said categorically he will never race in over the chase fences.
Gutting.
I'm sorry.
Okay, we said we wouldn't talk about Constitution Hill for too long, but we all got carried away. So let's move on. Orlando, we're all obviously, we're naturally focused on Constitution Hill. He's going to make headlines whatever happens, win, lose or fall. But is the biggest story to come out of the race actually the new Lion? He remains solid at around 4-1 for the Champion Hurdle.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. He hasn't moved at all in his Champion Hurdle price. And it's quite tricky to assess because obviously he fell 2 out. Was he going that well? I had a feeling he was over-travelling. He looked quite fresh. I have a sneaky feeling that Golden Ace might have got past him anyway, even if he hadn't fallen. Henry doesn't like that. Yeah. Give him a look.
I'm not sure. I don't know if he was over racing. I just thought the whole way around, it looked to me as if he was going as fast as he could the whole way around. Yeah. And they are going to get the question, is he an out-and-out two-miler? I think Dan Skelton said after the race, it's definitely the right trip. So he's going to head to Kempton on Boxing Day for the Christmas Hurdle. I suppose we'll find out a bit more then. Yeah. But
I think also the issue for them is they're not going to step him up to 3 miles for the Stayers.
Yeah.
And he's clearly a rapid hurdler. So that just leaves the champion hurdle, doesn't it?
So from a market perspective, what's the reasoning behind, why wouldn't that price change after what happened?
It's very hard to measure what he's done in the race because the main opponent, Constitution Hill, wasn't in the race. And then he's gone and fallen himself. So arguably the most important 45 seconds of the race coming off the back of the second last, you haven't been able to judge him. So
it's just more questions and answers now.
It is.
To be fair,
a really interesting division now with Constitution Hill, others, injuries, State Man, the new line, haven't even seen him over the trip yet.
Well, let's dig into the betting for that race, Henry. Why don't you reveal the odds?
Lossy Mouth, she's strong at the top of the betting, 7-4. The new line, as we mentioned, is 4-1. So Gino, 5-1. Nicky mentioned earlier in the week he could potentially come back over hurdles. William Money, Barry Connells, we haven't seen him yet this season. He's 8-1. And then Golden Ace, 11-1. Potentially slightly underestimated. She is a two-time Grade 1 winner and she is the reigning champion hurdler, although the market's probably got that about right. She's probably going to go off 11-1 on the day, isn't she?
Yeah, seems right.
Hard to see her going off that much shorter.
As you say, Orlando, wide open there. Because you take State Man and Constitution Hill out and it's all...
So why wouldn't the Henderson team send Sergino back in? I think it's a great idea. Especially with the Donnellys, who obviously own State Man and Sergino. State Man out for the season. Probably a bit of a, I wouldn't say open goal, but...
A very able substitute.
Yeah. He's also, you know, he's not a novice chaser anymore because he had his one win last season, Sergino. So he'd be going up against the big boys off one race over fences. So for a horse coming back from the sort of life-threatening illness that he has, maybe a bit easier to keep him right over hurdles.
God, it's non-stop drama at Seven Barrows, isn't
it? I know, it's just brilliant.
Henry, before we round off there, were there any other weekend angles, weekend horses that you wanted to mention?
It was a brilliant weekend of racing, wasn't it? Fairy House, it was good. Romeo Coolio was really impressive in the Drinmore. Although there is a stat about that race, I think for like the past 25 Drinmore winners haven't won at Cheltenham in the same season. So
oh, really?
It's a pointer for our listeners. And also they've got the problem there of 1/2. Gonna have to take on the Lambert, Cope at the Board and Arkle, or step up to 3 miles and take on Final Demand in the Brand Advisory. But just one that we saw a bit of movement for was Ballyburn in the Stayers Hurdle. So 9-4 from 5-1 off the back of actually getting beaten by a nostril by Jupu in the Hatton's Grace Hurdle. Yeah, I mean, if those two reoppose in the Stayers, it's going to be a great race, isn't it?
The Stayers is looking pretty good.
Let's get back on the bridle with the Cheltenham chat. In danger of running away down the home straight. That's plenty of names to note there from the guys. We will write up all the names that we've discussed and publish them on members.fitstairs.com, so do look out for that. Now it is time to move on to what is rapidly becoming my favourite part of the show. Producer Helena, run the tape from last week, please. Mine is Fulham to beat Spurs on Saturday. And that's 12-5. I can really see Fulham getting a win here. For the benefit of our guest, Jess Dragoning, a crystal ball call is something you are so sure is going to happen. It's like it's meant to be. So I'm going to let the boys go first and show you how it's done. Henry, I am coming to you.
Okay, so mine this week focuses on Dan Skelton. He, along with brother Harry, have stolen the headlines on every big Saturday so far this season. And I think the theme's going to continue this weekend. I think the Skeltons will either win either the Tingle Creek with Lotus Hood or the other big race of the day, which is the Beecher Handicap Chase over the Grand National Fences. And they've got Gallia de la Toe in that race. I think one of those two horses will win is my prediction. And it'll be another super Saturday for the Skeltons.
Sitting on the fence a bit, but that's okay. Orlando, over to you.
I'm going to continue with the Skelton Super Saturday theme. but not this weekend, later on in December, panic attack to win the December Gold Cup at Cheltenham during the Christmas meeting. Currently 8-1, it would be the first horse ever to go and win the Paddy Power Gold Cup, the Coral Gold Cup, and then the December Gold Cup. Never been done before.
Wow.
I know.
It certainly wouldn't cause a panic attack if that
first
happened.
First horse for 21 years, wasn't it, to win the Paddy Power Gold Cup?
So
followed
four,
by
yeah.
the... Yeah.
Yeah, just been Coral amazing Gold to Cup. Win over 2.5, step up to just short of 3 and then back down to 2.5.
Could see that. Right, Jess, you've seen how it's done. Let's have a look in your crystal ball.
I'm throwing it back to the flat. Of course I am. to the Tassel Scepter Session, the mares. Last year, you got to me top the sale at 4.8 million to Amo Racing. I think this year there is potential for the sale to be topped again. There's also Porta Fortuna there. So I think that is my prediction that the Tassel Scepter sale, there will be a new top lot.
I like that. Nice to be reminded that flat racing still exists at this time of year.
What figure are you putting on the top lot?
Oh, gosh, I'd like to get it to 5.
Yeah, 5 wow. would be mental.
Well, there we have it. Welcome back. If you'd like to place a bet on any event discussed on this show, it's pretty easy. Just visit fitstairs.com. We have a new app as well as telephone and text betting service. If you give us a call, you can get prices on any markets as well as special bets. It's 020-7851-5407 or text the office on 07492-882-213. You'll have to be over 18 and please bet responsibly. We're going to head back to Naunton Downs to hear from Fitstairs ambassador Ben Pauling where the festive racing fixtures are getting into full swing.
Hi, just the roundup of the runners from last weekend. Mamba number 5, making it 2 from 2 over fences as a 4-year-old, was a fabulous sight to be seen. He jumped and travelled beautifully and is an exciting horse for the season ahead. A special mention to No Questions Asked in the Grade 2, John Frankham, just being run out of it late on by a thorough stayer. I think he travelled and jumped like the best horse in the race and will prove to be a very, very smart horse over 2 or 2.5 miles later in the season. We couldn't have been happy with Kelp, Brenner or Leader in the Park either, just touched off on Saturday, but both very good runs for the future. Looking forward to this weekend, we've got a very nice horse, Starmount, runs up at Wetherby in a novice hurdle. I've been waiting to get him out for a little while, but I'm looking forward to seeing how he gets on. Up at Aintree, we've got Taurus Bay, who was an impressive winner of his only start over hurdles. At Stratford, he goes in a hot novice hurdle at Aintree for Harry Redknapp. And Jeff Hill, It's Hard to Know, will run in the Novice Handicap Chase. He was a nice novice hurdler from last year, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he gets on over fences. And Twig will run in the Beecher Chase. Hopefully the ground isn't too soft, but he's in great form. He won his seasonal reappearance, and we're looking forward to seeing how he gets on. All the best. Many thanks.
So it wasn't quite the winning weekend at Newbury for Ben Pauling, but there was a Friday thrill in the form of Mambo number 5, making it 2 wins from 2 chasing starts. Orlando, let's start with Mambo number 5, who I actually remember Ben being rather sweet on at a company conference years ago.
Last year.
So he's been looking into his crystal ball with that one.
Yeah.
But tell me, what's the pathway for this horse now? 2 wins from 2 chasing starts. What's next?
Yeah, I think both of those wins were in novice handicap chases. And he won them both pretty convincingly. So I'd assume that he probably won't be handicapping again. Don't know what his mark is actually off the top of my head, but probably look to go into a graded novice chase now, you'd think.
Mm.
And I don't really know where the ceiling is for him, because Ben always said that he would love a fence, and he's got that pretty bang on. So sky's the limit, really.
Henry, you had a specific race in mind when we talked off air.
Not that I'm doing Ben Pauling's race planning for him, but there is a Grade 2, I think, on the 27th of December, the Wayward Lad Novices Chase.
That's
which Sergino won.
Yes, against Ballybone. Yeah, I could see him running there. Just, I think it is important to note with him, he is still a 4-year-old, so he gets the 4-year-old allowance. So from January the 1st, he won't get that £7 allowance. So they're doing the right thing and trying to cash in now, I suppose. Maybe he could run in something like the Arkle at the festival next
Jess,
March.
have you ever had a horse, you know, where, I mean, I know that the time periods are a bit shorter on the flat, how long you get to have with them, but have you ever had a 2-year-old arrive in the yard and you've been like, yeah, this is going to be special?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think what I find fascinating is when sometimes they first come in and you just think it's one of the, you know, any old two-year-old, and then suddenly they have a glow up. I mean, takes me back to Mahatha when he arrived. He was tiny, black, furry looking feral New Forest pony, and then suddenly out of nowhere he just blossomed into this incredible looking horse. I mean, we've had it time and time again, and I think it is amazing watching horses improve, and that's the most exciting part of a job, getting a horse to their best potential, for sure.
God, fluffy pony to shining glossy beast that he became.
Yeah,
right, the stage is set for what looks like a brilliant renewal of the Tingle Creek on Saturday at 3 o'clock at Sandown, but there are some big question marks around the Orlando fan club's, the Orlando John Bond fan club's favourite horse, who is currently a 4-1 shot. Henry, can you fire away with the odds, please?
So Il Etait Temps currently tops the betting 8-13. Next in, Lodisud 9-4. John Bond, as you mentioned, 4-1. Liberty Hunter for Evan Williams, 22-1. And then Old Stages, Boot Hill and Edwardstone are both 33-1.
Jess, I'm going to come to you here. John Bond's performance at Cheltenham obviously didn't meet expectations. And, you know, there was people saying he looked like a tired horse, maybe didn't like the ground. Again, I'm asking you to put your training hat on with John Bond. There's, I suppose, in some ways, it's not a dissimilar situation to Constitution Hill. What would you be doing to get a horse back like that? It's quite a quick turnaround to the racing this weekend. How would you be taking care of him at home to get him back?
I think I'd be praying to God that it didn't rain too much. That's my take on it. I think the rain and really did hamper the ground. I'd agree with Nikki there. I think that really did affect him. And looking at the forecast this week, I would be worried about how much rain we're going to get. For such a great horse like that, it's a shame when you're trying to train them and the weather changes and it affects the result of a horse that you know is so great. I would just hope it didn't rain too much. And then I think Nikki has got
what
it
should do, put an arm around them, give them a polo, tell them they're amazing.
Yeah, we've got this.
Yeah. Let's keep going with the Tingle Creek and let's throw it out there now for some predictions. Orlando, I'll come to you first.
I think if the rain, I think it's forecast a bit on Thursday and a tiny bit on Friday morning. If it stays good to soft, I think John Bond will win. But as Henry says, 8-13 for Il Etait Temps, 4-1 for John Bond. It is a big discrepancy when you look at those two horses. From the trading perspective with us, John Bond completely friendless. No one is having a bet on John Bond, hence the short price on Il Etait Temps, because everyone's still having a bet on him, even as short as 8-13. But yeah, my prediction, and it's quite a biased one for my love of the horse, is that John Bond will return to his full glory.
Henry, I'll come to you on the Tingle Creek.
Yeah, I think, I actually said to Orlando earlier in the week, I think if John Bond and Lodisud reoppose, I think John Bond will beat him this time. Because I think Lodisud was absolutely prime for Cheltenham and obviously loves soft ground as well. Point on that I just wanted to make too was the Arkle form from last year looks really strong. Django Bay won the Arkle. He's second favourite now for the King George, having won at Ascot. Only by Knight was third in the Arkle. She's won a grade two in Ireland, shortened up for the Champion Chase market, and we've already seen Lodisud obviously come out of the Arkle and win his first start in open company, so that does look really, really strong form. But yeah, I think Cheltenham was almost this horse's gold cup, and I would be with Il Etait Temps to win there and then shorten up for the Champion Chase.
Since you mentioned Cheltenham and the Champion Chase, that market could have quite a shake up this weekend. I mean, John Bond blisters as
when
when John Bond hoses up in the Tingle Creek, that would have massive implications for the price. So what are the potential scenarios that you're planning for as a trader? How could the market change this weekend?
Just be pretty hot on your prices post Tingle Creek, I think.
Yeah,
because yeah, John Bond goes and hoses up and he's probably second favourite for the Champion Chase.
Madgeborough, current 4-1 favourite.
Yeah, there's still quite a lot to be worked out, isn't it, in this market,
yeah,
given that we haven't seen last year's winner yet, Marie Nationale, 4-1, Marshall we haven't seen yet, 4-1, and then you sort of got this Sugino.
I know, yeah.
I want to say cloud. It's not really a cloud, it's just the Sugino question, because if he comes back, he really does look a cut above anything that we've seen so far. So market will definitely get a bit of a shake up this afternoon, and that 12-1 on John Bonlando could look big, couldn't it?
It's definitely looking like it could be race of the festival for me.
Jess, I very rudely completely overlooked you for your Tingle Creek predictions. Would you like to give me a...
I'm going for the grey of Skelton to Lotus Sid. I just think he was pretty relentless at Cheltenham, and it's nothing against John Bon, but I just think where the weather's taking us, I really think with that ground, why not give it a go?
Spoken like a true trainer.
Well, there you have it. You've got three opinions, three different horses.
Yeah.
So
I just well, someone's going to be wrong. And maybe all of you. After 27 years, New Year's Day racing is finally returning to the iconic Windsor Racecourse, and Fitzdares will be there. We'll also have full telephone and text betting service, so contact the office and make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. We are back at Windsor for the Berkshire Winter Million on Friday the 16th of January and Sunday, January the 18th. Be sure to download our app for a seamless betting experience throughout the day. As always, this is for over 18s only, and please gamble responsibly. Advent has started. I'm enjoying eating chocolate for breakfast. I don't know about you guys. It certainly spices things up in the morning when you wake up. But what that means, you know, from a racing perspective, is that the King George is around the corner. I think wearing our Fitzdares hats here, I'm wearing a lot of different hats in this episode, from a Fitzdares perspective and from the wider public perspective, really, the jukebox man is the story here in the King George. 5-1 for the King George and currently 14-1 for the Ryanair as things stand, 25-1 for the Gold Cup. Henry, I will come to you first. What does the jukebox man have to do in the King George to move those prices in either the Ryanair or the Gold Cup?
I don't think, even if he were to win the King George, we'll see him in a Gold Cup. I think Ben, at the start of the season, was suggesting that the Ryanair might be his more likely target. But yeah, I mean, this looks a deep King George. I mean, this looks...
really good.
I feel like I always say this at this time every year, but this does look a serious renewal. Willie's going to send at least one of Fats File and Gaelic Warrior over, potentially both. Django Bear, as I mentioned earlier, is going to be in there. So if the jukebox man were to win this, he's 14-1 for the Ryanair now. You definitely see him go single figures, maybe sort of 6-5-1, something like that.
And do you see the jukebox man having to make the running in the King George? Win it?
There's always loads of pace on in this race.
Typically, if you've got Gaelic Warrior going to go out and do what he did.
There's never any hiding pace in this race. I mean, we've seen, do you remember Hewick a couple of years ago? Coming from miles off the pace.
And they come from huge prices, don't they?
There's often a shake-up. I think it would be a hell of an achievement for Ben. And with our Fitzdares hats on, we're all hoping. I think it would actually be great as well. Like, as a sort of side point, we're all huge Willie Mullins fans in here, but it does
You are a huge Willie Mullins fan.
It does get a little bit dry when he sort of comes over and wins everything with not even his kind of first, second string. So yeah, it'd be great for British Trains and great for Fitzdale sponsor trainer Ben Pooling if Jukebox could get it done.
And good to see a sort of brilliant owner like Harry Redknapp.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just such a character.
I was just going to mention that. Jess, we're not blind to the struggles that racing as a sport has endured in terms of kind of keeping pace with some of the other sports in this country, particularly football. From a wider racing perspective, having a horse like the Jukebox Man owned by Harry Redknapp winning a big race like the King George, how much will that help the profile of the sport?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, even we were speaking about before we started today, like that quote of Harry Redknapp about Boxing Day. I mean, he's such a great ambassador for British racing. It's just fantastic when we see these sportsmen like Harry Redknapp coming back our sport. It means that the people that look at Harry Redknapp's, the algorithms then fill up with racing. There's positives and everything when people from the outside with big names come into racing. We've got to encourage that.
He's probably the only Tottenham West Ham manager I can say I've ever really liked, Harry Redknapp. Orlando, I want to come to you first on this. What is the game plan for the Jukebox Man? How do you beat Gaelic Warrior?
Well, that's kind of what I was trying to get Henry to answer that question, because I think it's quite a tricky one, because he won his graduation chase the other day, Jukebox Man, and he did it off the front, and Gaelic Warrior won the John Durkin from the front. So I don't know, do they take each other on? One drop in, does that leave Django Bay later on to come storming through, or a late charger? I don't know. I'd probably want him to make the running and just ping from the front.
Jess, off air, you had quite a hot take about the King George. I think you said something along the lines of why is it that price? So I'm going to give you the stage to deliver your hot take, and then we'll discuss it.
Well, so like obviously the winner last year, Banbridge, isn't it? And what price are we off?
12-1 Banbridge at the moment.
12-1. Yeah. I just think that's a huge price for a horse that's won it the year before. And, you know, he runs a 50% strike rate in his runs. I just don't see why you'd, you know, cross him out as a great each way chance.
Mm. We were talking as well, weren't we, just a minute ago about the pace in this race can just fall apart. And like last year, he did come from off the pace and saw out 3 miles really strongly. So if the race does kind of fall into his lap a bit, you could definitely see him there or thereabouts.
Yeah. I think also I'm a big culprit of this, get very overexcited by the horses I've already seen this season. And all the horses we've just mentioned, you've just seen them winning.
Yeah.
Whereas Banbridge is quietly biding his time and hoping that the rain stays away.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Final predictions. Orlando first.
For the King George?
Yeah.
Django Bay.
Wow. No hesitation there.
Shocking hymns and all.
What price is Django Bay?
5-2, second favourite.
Jess Tregoning. I think I know what you're going to choose.
Yeah, Banbridge.
Henry?
I want the Jukebox Man to win. I'll go with him. Although, wouldn't be shocked to see the favourite Gaelic Warrior.
No, I don't think we'd ever be shocked to see Willie coming and doing what Willie does.
I do like the horse as well, but I'm sticking... Company man, sticking with the Jukebox Man.
Agreed.
I think it would be interesting, that race, really, this year especially, because it looks like it could be very tactical from what you boys are saying. And you know, we normally get that a lot in the flat, but in the jump race, they can slightly wave their way out of it. But I mean, if you've got two horses that thrive off making the running, is it really going to impact one?
Yeah.
Since we have an actual living, breathing horsewoman in our ranks, it would be remiss not to put you on the spot here and ask you some questions about your craft. Jess, just tell us about your life. What are you up to at the moment? What's a day in your life like right now?
Gosh, I'm doing a day in the life. So I do all sorts of jobs. I'm back at my father's Marcus Dronnings. I do a bit of everything, whether that's travelling, riding out, owners communications is actually the bit I really enjoy now. I've really dived into that. And I've just set up a new racing syndicate called Corinthian Racing. I just really want to make racing affordable for young people like us and for any age, and to still keep that individual approach. I know there's already lots of big syndicates out there, but we're working off a £250 for your 1% share. That's a one-off payment. And then it's just £40 a month. So it's £10 a week. I mean, people spend that on coffee a day in London.
That's a good pitch.
So it's really reasonable. I really like the two-year-old we've bought. He's really precocious, a Kotai Glory for 17,000. So to have £250 with £40 a month, it is a steal. It's going to be a really lovely way to get people together. The horse is going to be the magnet, and we're going to do loads of social events. We're going to the Arc next year. We're doing a trip to the Arc.
What, the horse abroad. Is... That's a lot of advanced planning.
No. But we're going as a trip, which is fun. So the horse is the magnet to get like-minded people together, and then I just want to have a lot of fun. I want it to have a private members club feel to it, but it's no way exclusive in its pricing. I want it to be readily available for everyone. It's exciting.
I love it. Sounds great. Okay, guys, I've got loads of questions for Jess, but if you guys had any questions about training horses, now is the time.
You might not like me for this, loop it all the way back to Constitution Hill.
Great.
One quick question, running him on the flat, would you whack him in 2 miles, or would you run him over a mile and a half? You sort of Vauban-ed when he moved to flat. He went and won over a mile and a half.
I think Nicky obviously knows Constitution best. And from his, I think because he stays out that 2 mile trip so well, but then again, it's a fair point because he's a horse with a huge engine. He might do mile and a half, but I think it'll be very interesting to see how sharp, if they change the training style as well, because, you know, when we train a flat horse, we do train it completely differently to a jump horse. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see what trip they run him over, definitely. I think that race at Royal Ascot, the Queen Alexandra, I mean, that's a proper staying race. If for some crazy reason, and I know this is a bit out there, but if they could get him to go for that, that would be extraordinary.
So that's what, if he rocked up in your yard tomorrow, if Nicky was like, look, Marcus, I'm out of ideas. I want to run him on the flat. That's what you
would
do.
I would just love to see the horse get lots of confidence back and win some flat races. That would be the best result for him.
Henry, anything you want to ask Jess?
Yeah, I kind of want to want to work out what these flat trainers are up to over the winter. How are you just putting your feet up, watching the jumps racing? Like what are you guys up to?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, it's so busy because I'm selling shares in Dad's horses. Dad has lots of Wits Racing Syndicate horses and my Corinthian horses. So if anyone wants a share in a racehorse, please get in touch. But aside from that, it's yearling time. So it's really exciting for us. It's my favorite time of the year. The weather-wise, can't stand it. But with the ammunition that you're looking forward to next year with, it's really exciting. Backing, breaking yearlings. And also for those lucky people and fortunate trainers who have some really lovely horses they can go out to the UAE with. That's really exciting. We've obviously just seen Clandagan in the Japan Cup. Yeah. That was fabulous.
What's one thing that, you know, you're an insider, you know what the life of a horse, what the life of a horsewoman is like. What do you wish the public knew about what you do?
I just wish they, you know, when everyone's watching someone like Constitution Hill, me and Alana were talking about this earlier, and they're sat there at home saying their clever comments on social media, they have no clue what it takes to get a horse there. And at the top, you're looking at Nikki, but all the way down to the grooms, you know, the guy that has to groom, you know, he has that connection with Constitution Hill. The pressure the rider has to ride him every day and then having to read all the stuff on the internet. I think people need to be really careful what they write. I think it's a real problem in our sport. It needs to be policed. And so I just wish everyone, I mean, people do. It's unfair to say people don't know how much everyone loves the horses. But I can tell you, I have a big string of retirees at home. I still have Bronze Angel and he goes out in the day and in at night and he's on lots of expensive shavings. So they're treated like kings and they should be treated like that. There's no excuse for it. We should as a sport. These are our athletes. We've got to look after them to top level. And I'm very glad to say that I know the majority do. And I just hope that the public believe us that that's what we're here to do.
Strong words. That's what we want to hear. That's what you're here for. And before we go, can you give us one horse to watch for the upcoming flat season? Doesn't have to be from your dad's. Could be if you wanted. Mm. But yeah, give us a name.
For us, I quite like, I'll take it to Dad. For us, I quite like a filly we have called Yotuba. She's 2-year-old Shadwell filly. She's run once this year, only just the once. She's been slightly backward. She's Oasis Dream filly. I do really like her. I think she'll be nice for next year. And we have a nice Saxon Warrior filly called St Hilda who'll want a trip for Whitsby Racing Syndicate. And then I would just watch anything of Francis Graffos for next year. I think he is an phenomenal trainer. I think the way he spoke, I was listening to him on the way actually on his Nick Luck podcast. I just think he's a complete professional. If I could ever speak the way he does, and his training is phenomenal. He'll have a fantastic year again, I'm sure.
Someone came up to me in the Butchers on Saturday with an early shout for the Dante.
Love it.
It's a John Gosden horse. I can't remember the name. Said person is a part owner of the horse. But yeah, I do find it amusing. And I'm sure, Orlando, you're probably seeing this a bit in your role. The early shouts that come out of nowhere for the Derby and races like that. Have you seen anything kind of random?
People already sort of backing things for Alaska and stuff and the Derby. But I think that's a brilliant part of the sport. You can have your either each way on something and you've got something to look forward to for 9 months and you can track it. You can constantly keep up with its progress, see how it's doing. And it's, keeps you interested for a long time.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's no better feeling than riding a horse all winter, telling yourself it's going to run in the guineas. Yeah. Even if it doesn't get there.
Beaten first time last and the dream's over.
Yeah. That's what keeps you warm. Yeah. It's really, really good.
Yeah, definitely. And then there are these pick-me-ups halfway through when suddenly something starts to blossom and you think, gosh, this is something special and I didn't even know it was. So,
like Mahatha.
Yeah.
When he finally sheds that furry coat.
That furry coat. Yeah, when the ugly duckling became a swan.
Was Odds Law. I've been your host, Lola Katz-Roberts, and a huge thank you to Henry once again for joining us and to Orlando for battling serious traffic problems in the office to get here. And of course, a big, big thank you to our debutante on Odds Law, Jess Tregoning. If you would like to hear more about Jess's syndicate, Corinthian Racing, we'll put some more information about it in the show notes. See you next week.